welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Okay, so this morning the talk is on honour's reward. And we're just going to look, we're going to link it in with what God's been saying to us anyway. And where you start for this, I think, is Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Okay, so God is a rewarder. Yes. Hallelujah. God is a rewarder of those who come to him with faith. Yes. Now, here's another verse that sort of links in with this, okay? This is in 2 John verse 8. If you're taking notes, jot that one down. And I notice a lot of you don't. I do recommend it, actually, that you take notes. If you see me listening on a Sunday morning, I'm usually taking down notes, because you can never remember enough from somebody speaking to you on a Sunday morning. If you think about it, if we actually believe what's going on, that God is anointing somebody to speak, therefore God is actually speaking to you. We're mad, aren't we, not to make a record of what's going on, because God obviously would like us to follow up on it. So I really do recommend it. I'm not saying we become a church of students, but you know, even if it's just jotting down the odd verse, because it's so easily forgotten. I mean, I know you can listen to it online, and I know many of you do go back and listen to them again. Some of them are like that, aren't they? Hallelujah. 2 John 8. Look to yourselves. Now, it's not often the Bible says that. It's always look to God. Get your eyes on him. But for once, John writes and says, look to yourselves. So you've got permission to look at yourself. Be careful, you'll get depressed. No, it says, look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we've worked for. What does that mean? You can lose the things you've worked for. Now, this is John writing towards the end of his life. These few letters at the end here. So he's been a man of considerable experience. The letter of 2 John is quite a short letter. If you've opened it, it's only one page on your Bible. Hasn't got any chapters. So you can imagine everything he's writing down is like concentrated wisdom. And it says, look to yourselves that you do not lose the things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. It's this reward again. God keeps bringing it back. Because it's been out of the church's mindset. It's been something that the church has forgotten about. Almost ashamed to admit, as if it was sort of selfish to want a reward. And yet God says, I want to reward you. Well, we can't visit that talk of, you can have all the toys in the toy shop again. Hallelujah. But you can have all the toys in the toy shop, and if you don't know what I'm talking, download it. Imagine you're a farmer, which is a good illustration in this area, really. Imagine you're a farmer and you work ploughing up all your field. It's quite hard work, even today with the modern machinery and stuff. They're out there in the fields long hours. It could be pouring with rain, it could be whatever, and they're ploughing up the soil. They've ploughed up all the soil, and then they start almost over again, all over again in a way, because they've got to make sure everything's planted properly. They plant everything. They've got to dig in fertilisers and do everything else. I mean, I'm not a farmer, so I don't know the fullness of what it's involved, but you see them, there's a field out the back of where we live, and you see the tractor out there far more often than just sow and reap. Yes. There's a lot of work going on. And imagine if the crop begins to grow, and then the farmer goes around and sprays whatever they spray on it to get rid of bugs and whatever, or if they're organic, they put whatever on it. And I don't know what you do if you're organic. Spit at them. But anyway, weed. That's about it, isn't it? But they might be nice weeds. Anyway, you do all that work for your guy, that you get the first shoots, and then it comes to, and it's growing beautifully, and you've got to wait a long period of time. Imagine then it's getting near to the time of harvest, and the farmer says, I've worked hard for months. I really can't be bothered to do it anymore. I've had enough. I'm going to McDonald's. Everything he'd worked for would be lost. It would be an incredible waste. Or imagine if he's heard from his fellow farmers, he's heard on the BBC weather news that there's this huge storm coming. And they're all saying to him, get your harvest in. He says, no, I can't be bothered this week. It's nice weather. I want a sunbathe. I need rest. I need me time. I've been working ever so hard. And he leaves it for a week, and poof, and the whole All that hard work he put in is wasted because the storm wrecks the harvest. You could do it. You could put it in a business context as well. You know, the businessman that makes sound investments all the way along, but then makes some crucial error at the end, or somebody else in his company makes a crucial error. And instead of the company being profitable, suddenly it goes down the tubes and there's no money left in it and he goes bankrupt. You see it all the time. Everything that the businessman has worked for is just lost. And that's the kind of illustration you've got to have in mind here when John is writing at the end of his life, but to others, look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we've worked for, that we may receive a full reward. Amen? Who wants a full reward? Who wants to lose everything they've worked for so far? You're pretty mad if you do, don't you? If it was kids, you'd always get some that put their hands up because they love to put their hands up to the question, to answer it the wrong way round, to what they know you want. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 3:6. Now the writer to the Hebrews is reminding the people of the days that the Israelites were in the desert. It was a marvellous time, you know. They were being accurately guided by God at every step. You know, everywhere, they had this pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire to follow so that they always knew whether to be walking or stopped. When they needed things, they were provided for. And yet, there came a time when God spoke and they just hardened their hearts. Why does the writer to the Hebrews put this in? Because he knows it's true for every single Christian. Because we are somebody that lives with our lives guided by God, but it can come that God speaks and suddenly it doesn't sit comfortable and our hearts are hardened. And this whole thing of honour and reward is something that we must guard our hearts over. Because every now and again, if you're like me, you're just hear something, read something, you read that book, your heart's going to go, ooh, don't believe that. And you suddenly realise that God is challenging you into a different place. Which is why it starts. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Because when you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, it's rebellion. Yeah? Stein said, verse 6 to start from, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. This is a time to hold on. In the midst of good times, it's actually the hardest time to stay faithful to God. We're in good times. I know that there's a depression and credit crunch and everything else, but actually we're in pretty good times. We've got it pretty good, really. Compared to 98% of the world, we've got it pretty good, haven't we? But those are actually the worst times to hold on to what God says, because you don't have to hold on to God to stay comfortable particularly. You probably still have the money for your heating. You'll probably still be able to eat. Yeah? These are the times to hold on, because we are God's house. Yes. And it will be heard that Jesus is in the house. Yes. So if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. God says he was angry with that generation. Verse 12, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. You say, but I don't feel like that. But what happens is, you see, God sneaks in. Well, I don't know if that's quite right, God sneaks in. But it's like a truth comes in and hits you, and you think, no, I don't like that. And immediately you've put in something hard. What you're saying is, I don't agree with that. And if it's actually in the Word of God, when you're starting to say, I don't agree with that, your heart begins to harden. Whether you like it or not, it just does. And we need to guard our hearts to being as open as we can. Yeah? So, see to it, brothers, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Again, you've got this whole thing that God has been saying to us around all this. Notice it says, encourage one another. How do we stop? Well, how do we stop from having a hardened heart? Because the matter is, some of us at different times will harden our hearts to what God is saying. And what brings us through is one another. We encourage one another. Always got to be looking out for one another. People that you know, people that are in your circle of friends, people that are new, you're looking out for them because they'll need encouragement. It's there in the Word. Anyway, we've come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has been said, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they that heard and rebelled? Were they not those Moses led out of Egypt and with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who had sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear they would never enter his rest if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not unable to enter. They were not able to enter because of their unbelief. I don't want to be in that camp. I want to enter into everything that God has for me. Yeah? Okay. Now, this whole thing of reward and honour is closely linked. I've got some proverbs I wrote down here. Prosperity is the reward of righteousness. Does that offend you? It does offend some people. Because the prosperity gospel has been totally misused. But we've got to get back to the word. Prosperity is the reward of the righteous. Why? Because God wants wealth to be in the hands of the righteous so it is used to bless others. Yes. Amen? It's not a stupid thing. If you're wandering around in poverty, it's very difficult to actively do something. Mother Teresa, I'll hold her up as an example, even the world recognised, she was wealthy in terms of what she was giving out, the impact of her life, but she needed the resources coming in. Jackie Pullinger in Hong Kong, she needed the resources coming in. We need the wealth with the righteous. Psalm 13 verse 22, which is just after it, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So it's right to want to have prosperity to be able to give to your family. To your children's children. That's your grandchildren. That's a good inheritance that there's still stuff left for your grandchildren. Amen? That means you've got to be stocking up. Hallelujah. And if God is saying at the same time, like on Thursday nights, that this dam is open of releasing the estates and inheritances, we need to be aware that we're going to have to be wise with what's coming in. We need to be prepared in advance that for this flow to happen, there needs to be a generosity of spirit. Because what happens if the wealth goes to someone who is unrighteous is it doesn't get distributed. It just buys them several Ferraris, which blesses Ferrari, but it doesn't really bless everybody. And what God wants is for us to be wise and generous, that as prosperity comes in, we're sowing it into one another and into the life of the church. I mean, if you weren't here last week, well, not here, but at the library last week, listen to that talk as well, because there was stuff in that about how we, a whole new dimension that God wants us to walk into. It was a very challenging talk, I think. Very challenging week. This week probably isn't any less challenging. But it's that whole, God has got to change me. So that if God gives you £100,000 tomorrow, would you give £50,000 away? Oh, I'll put it another way. If God gave you £1,000,000 next weekend, and then the next day said, and can you give it all away, would you? And if, like me, you're probably thinking, no, I don't think I'll be able to, that's why you haven't got it yet. I'm not saying if he gives you £1,000,000 that you'd have to give it away. I'm not saying he's going to give anybody £1,000,000, but it's a way of looking at what's in your heart. That generosity. Because we're speaking prosperity and generosity and riches and wealth, if you like, because we know that with what God wants to do amongst us, if we're really going to be able to bless Yorkshire, bless Scarborough and everything else, we need to be able to handle wealth. Yeah? This place is a great place, but there's still lots of things that need to be done on it. Yeah. I want it to be the best. Yeah. As we get our building in Scarborough, you want it to be the best. You want it to honour God in what you do. Yeah. You know, threadbare carpets don't honour the Lord. No. They just say God can't provide. Yes. Very loudly.
Right.
Hallelujah. And Proverbs 11... verse 31, just in case you're thinking that it's all eternal reward, very clearly says the righteous will be rewarded in the earth. Hallelujah. Right. Now I'm going to skip over to Mark. We're still following the same thing of honour and reward. Like I say, it's a bit different to normal because I don't normally teach. Right, let's go from Mark 6. Let's have a look at Mark 6, verse 5. Jesus is talking about here. Jesus could not do any miracles there, this is in Nazareth, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. If you start to think about this, you realize how incredible it is. Because Jesus is God on earth. He's the incarnate God. He's God in man. He's fully anointed by the Holy Spirit. He hasn't got any problems in his relationship with God. He's certainly got faith. And yet, he can't do much. Which is interesting, isn't it? Because you would think if Jesus was there, he could do anything he wanted. And yet it very, very clearly says he couldn't do any miracles. And it also says he was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, where does he perceive this lack of faith? Is it just the lack of faith, if you like, that's stopping the miracles? Well, if it was, that would be very peculiar, because it would mean Jesus wasn't healing people because they didn't believe. And I can't imagine Jesus being here, and if Chris was unwell, Jesus saying, "I'm sorry, I can't heal you." And yet, in Nazareth, it's happening like that. Let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Okay, so they're amazed. They're enjoying the teaching. They think the teaching's good. They're amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. But then you see some of the source of the amazement, and it's not just that he's a good teacher. What's this wisdom that's been given to him? That he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Very interesting that. I only noticed that for the first time today. Isn't he the carpenter, not the carpenter's son? Isn't he the carpenter? He obviously took over Joseph's business. I mean, I know you think of him as a carpenter, but I never really realised it was biblical. I wondered if it was, you know, how those, all those other things creep up around Christmas, you know. He really was a carpenter. Isn't this the carpenter? That table that we have our tea off every night, that's the one he made. That stall that great Aunt Mary sits on every time, he made that. Actually, the tradition is that he made farm equipment, apparently. Ploughs and stuff. Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offence at him. Isn't he just one of us? Isn't he just ordinary? Isn't he just common? Come on, he used to play with my little Benjamin when he was little. They scraped knees together and climbed trees together. This is just Jesus. And you see something else. Can you see what's happening? Jesus does explain it. He says, Jesus said amongst them, only in his hometown, amongst his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honour. Yeah. Now, when Jesus uses the word prophet here, remember, you've got to get yourself back in how they were thinking in biblical times. And really, any dynamic man of God was a prophet. Okay, so basically, we might substitute man of God or pastor or leader or even each other without honour. So the lack of faith that Jesus then refers to later, you've got to put it into context. The reason he couldn't do anything is because they didn't honour him. He's just one of us. He's just Jesus. And you can see why we've got this title, if you like, Honour's Reward. Honour, when you begin to honour, you receive from that honour. Now you think, well, that is Jesus, so maybe that just applies to Jesus. But if you look at what happened next, Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority. He gives them instructions, and they went out and preached that people should repent, verse 12. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. Why? Why did it work? Because they were received. people received them as having come from Jesus. They at least honoured them with, these men have come from Jesus, let's listen to them, and they were able to heal. I mean, I don't know what went on in Nazareth. It says he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. You know, was it a few headaches? Was it a few bad backs? Was it a bit of arthritis? Still miracles, still good stuff. Still a bit like churches. Is it the reason that God has been talking to us about honour since about last November? It's because he sees that as we get hold of this honour, and this is why I'm sort of banging on about that book, as we get hold of this, not just read about it, not just think that's good, but actually do it, we will receive. We will not see the lack of faith. We will not see just a few people healed like we see now. And I love that few people are getting healed, but I want to see many, many people get healed. I want to see everyone being healed. When Jesus is in a different place, it talks about that everybody who came to him was healed. Because everybody was coming with a sense of, is this the Messiah? Is this the one? And God is saying to the church, come on, as we learn to honour, we're going to get back almost what we've lost in the church. Because at the moment, Jesus is only healing a few sick people because there's no honour. It's honouring him, the Lord. It's honouring the leadership. It's honouring one another. It's honouring civil authority. It's honouring social leaders. There's a long list. It's honouring our children. It's honouring our parents. This whole thing of honour is actually something that's been ripped out of our culture. And it's one of the reasons that the country's struggling. You say, well, there's good reason not to honour. Why would I want to honour some of the politicians with what's going on? But our culture has got into such a place of tearing people down. You know, people do make mistakes. People do do things wrong. People do selfish acts. But I bet you that most people in politics are there because they wanted to do something good. Yeah, I don't think many people go into politics just to get power. They believe they can do something, you know? And sometimes the way we even talk about the Prime Minister, well, he's the Prime Minister. He's our leader. We have to honour him. Prime Minister Gordon Brown. But we're such used to a culture of newspapers tearing them all down that we've got no leaders left to follow. And we could probably have the greatest of leaders emerge and they'd be so torn down that nobody would realise. You know? Everybody just looks at the things that don't work rather than the things that have worked. And we look back to golden ages of leaders that was wonderful, but we've forgotten that they had lots of faults. You know? I wonder if in 100 years' time they'll look back at leaders we've got today and say, actually, they were good leaders. I don't know. They might not with the culture we have. But the only way that culture is going to change is if we, the church, reverse it. You know, we might want to moan about the council, but we actually have to honour the council as well. And actually, there's a lot of good going on in the council. There are people there that want to do good things. Yeah, there are people that want to help the town. And it's mixed up with a lot of other stuff, but that's okay. We'll honour them. It's a different way of doing it. As James Maloney comes, you know, one of the things we want to do, it's not so much you honour him, but you honour him because of what God is doing through him. And in doing so, you're honouring the Lord. It's all right saying, I'm only going to honour the Lord, but how do you just honour the Lord? You honour the Lord by honouring those people that he puts in front of you. Yeah? And boy, do we want, you know, every time whenever he comes in to start a meeting, we'll clap and we'll cheer him and we'll, you know, he won't be able to move for being offered a drink and people will want to carry his Bible. But if you do that, you'll receive from him.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Dave and Anne are the most blessed people in the church because he's going to stay in their home. You are. So you will receive the greatest. They have to actually give up their bed because it's the only one he fits in. Hallelujah. I mean, if there was a luxury hotel nearby, we'd probably put him in that because you want to honour him. Luxury cottage. Anyway, where am I? Oh yes, Mark. So you've got this picture of the disciples go out, and at this point they've actually having more success than Jesus has just had. And that one is Jesus and one's these fallible fallible disciples. These disciples that make all these mistakes. One of them is even Judas Iscariot, who's going to betray him. And yet, they're seeing this release of miracles because people are receiving them as having come from Jesus. And they're not just receiving him as one of us. He's just Jesus. He makes the tables. He made that plough that old Bert used up in the top field. Yeah, it's amazing what he's got to say, but it's just Jesus. Because sometimes to understand honour, you've got to look at the opposite of what honour is, haven't you? You've got to look at dishonour to understand what dishonour is. The Greek word is timos for honour, and I think it's atimos for dishonour. And in a different things, I've seen it pronounced as Timmy, but that sounds silly, so I'll stick to timos. but it literally means a valuing. Your values, it's something you accord something as precious or weighty, or you show your appreciation for it. You esteem it, it's favourable, you regard it, you have respect. Whereas dishonour, the opposite, is to not show respect, to not give any value to treat as common. You know? Why should I clean that person's car that, you know, I've got my own car to clean. Just a thought. Why should I cut their hedge? I've got my own hedge to do. Because you're looking for ways to honour. You know, the people that come and work here in the gardens, like Joyce and Anne, they're honouring what God does here. You know, it's not a greatly esteemed job, is it, to be in the garden planting vegetables and making a bunny-proof fence? That's been the big project out there. So that the bunnies can't eat the vegetables. We're not honouring the bunnies. But you know, it's not that glamorous a job, but they're doing it because they're honouring what God does here.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And lots of people, there's a guy called Alec who doesn't even come to this church, who's done so much work on this house in repairing window frames and painting windows and he painted the front door, and loads of work he's done. There was a guy called Andrew who some months ago did lots of work in the gardens. Again, he's not actually part of the church here. He just comes because he knows God has done things here and he wants to honour that anointing, and he sees that as an opportunity. But as we see God moving in one another and in our leadership, we can look for opportunities. How can we honour them? You know? Don't harden your voice. Don't harden your heart because you're hearing the voice of God. I'll get it the right way around in a minute. Hallelujah. I feel quite strange teaching like this. It's not the normal me, is it? But it's what God wants us to hear. I want to jump about a bit. Thanks, Chris. Right, where else are we going to go? Jesus was restrained by the lack of honour. But the thing is, it's got to come from the heart. It's not just about what you say and do, although I've talked about things that you do. It's actually what's in the heart. It's what you're thinking. And there's a great passage about that. Whereabouts is it? I think it's Luke 5. I might have got completely the wrong passage here. No, I haven't. Okay, Luke 5, verse 17. Now, what you've got going on here... Oh no, just we'll go there in a minute. Just what I want to mention. If you remember the very first that I mentioned today. No, not the first, the second one. Look to yourselves that we do not lose heart so that we may receive a full reward. And one of the interesting things John Brevere brings out is if there's a full reward, there's obviously a place where you can have no reward, and there's a place where you can have a partial reward. And you see in Nazareth what happened is they were only receiving a partial reward from the anointing because of the lack of honour. Okay, and I think that's important to bring out. But so you can have a full reward, you can have a partial reward, or you can have no reward at all. And in this little passage, you've got no reward coming at all. Because it's this very interesting little thing. One day he was teaching, it says, Pharisees and teachers of the law had come from every village of Galilee and from Jerusalem and Judea were sitting there. So does that mean they're honouring Jesus? They've come to listen. So are they honouring him or are they not honouring him? Let's have a look. And the next sentence says... And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Now, in a lot of translations, this is the NIV, you'll find it says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal them. Which They both mean the same thing, but actually when you see heal them, you realize that the Pharisees and the teachers, the power of the Lord was here to heal them. Because you can be certain if it was a large group of teachers and Pharisees, some of them would be ill. You know, in any group of 100 people, or probably even 30 people, there's going to be some people who are ill to one extent or another. There's so many things that are wrong with people, you wonder how we ever exist. No wonder Nigel's busy. There always seems to be something here and there. In fact, a lot of people. And so the power of God is actually present to heal them. Okay? And they've come to listen. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way in because of it, you know this story, okay? You're an experienced bunch of people. So they cut a hole in the roof and they lower the guy through. No, it's not happening today. Okay, they can come through the patio doors. It'd be a lot easier. But there's such crowds have gathered because they want to hear about this guy that the only way they can get their friend before Jesus is to lower him through the roof. Now, they obviously they're honouring him. It's a kind of a weird way to honour somebody, you think. But they are honouring him because they obviously really think this guy can do it. You know, because there's going to be a spot of bother after. You know, if you hack through somebody's roof, everybody's not going to go, at the end of all of that, I bet not everybody just said, oh, that's nice big hole. Never mind, he got healed. I bet somebody wanted their roof sorted, you know. Those four were going to get into trouble about it. They must have known that as they're digging through this because it's a mud house. It wasn't, you know, terribly hard to repair, but it was still a big hole in somebody's roof. I always wonder what it was like for Jesus preaching and he's standing there preaching because bits must have started coming out. Odd. Did he just carry on? Did he sort of think, oh, that's that one. I knew that was coming. He'd already read the book. Anyway, they get it through and they're honouring, they obviously expect something to happen because despite the consequences, they want their friend to be at the feet of Jesus. So they realise that this man is the answer, if you like. They might not know fully who he is, but they've seen what he can do. And they're not thinking it's just Jesus. They're not thinking it's just some teacher, it's just some leader. They're not thinking he's just some rabbi. It was a bit big for his boots. They're thinking, this is the guy who we can see answers to. God seems to use him. And that's the key, you see, because the honouring is God uses that person. Therefore, we should honour what God is using. Yeah? So anyway, they get the thing through and Jesus sees their faith, it says. Friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, here's where we find out whether the power of God that is there to heal the Pharisees and the teachers is going to work. In a sense, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Notice thinking. They don't dishonor him publicly at this point. They're just thinking. A bit scary, isn't it? They're just thinking. It says that Jesus knew what they were thinking about. The Holy Spirit gobbled on them. And asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? In other words, what is the condition of your heart? What are you thinking inside? He knows. Which is it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Why are they upset that he said your sins are forgiven? Because you can only do that if you're standing in place of God. Yes. They were taking it as his claim to be God, which Jesus was. And that's why he was doing it. Is it easier to say that or easier to say get up and walk? But so that you know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. But nowhere does it say any of the Levites or teachers of the law were healed. Because of what was in their heart. So and what happened was they didn't receive a partial reward, they received no reward. And presumably there was no eternal reward building up either. And that's why John writes, look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we've worked for, that we may receive a full reward. Who wants the full reward? Yes. Then we need to honour alongside faith. Yes. Yeah? And this is so much what God's bringing to us, isn't it? Another story, well, I don't think we'll look it up now, because we need to come to an end. But another story where you see this is the story of the centurion. Yeah? Because what happens is that Jesus said, the centurion's message to Jesus, I am not worthy to have you come in my house. He's honouring him. He knows that this is a man of God, and I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. And Jesus' reply is, I've never seen such faith. Because faith is just like this, with honour. Is that you can only, because what is faith? Faith is saying, I believe God. Well, if you believe God, you have to, there's an active demonstration of that in terms of the way you act to God's people and to other people, come to that. So the Roman soldier gets the fall. Do you know what? He says, I've not seen any greater faith in Israel. Think about that. That includes John the Baptist. It includes Mary, the mother of God, to use that expression. You know, our friends, the Catholic Church, often have statues and have a great honour for Mary. Sometimes it goes too far, but they have a great honour for Mary. And we should honour Mary as a previous leader in the church and as someone who bore Jesus. But I wonder if we should have statues of the centurion and honour him. Because Jesus said, he's got greater faith than my mum. And there was another woman that receives her full reward because she honours him. And actually, it's another non-Jew. Because remember, Jesus, when he came, his ministry was to the Jews. He hadn't come at that point. That was going to come afterwards. But this Syrophoenician woman, a Greek in other words, when I can't remember where he is, some town somewhere. But he's in a town, and this lady seeks him out, and he's just with his disciples. And she's saying, will you heal my daughter? Will you heal my daughter? I think she has a demon, and she wants this demon out. Will you heal my daughter? Will you heal my daughter? And he says, look, it's not right. This is what Jesus says. It's not right to take what is for the people of God and give it to the dogs. Whew. I mean, no matter how you try and cover that up, that's pretty nasty. What is Jesus doing? Calling her a dog. You know, and I reckon if she'd told most people around today, if Jesus had turned around, imagine Jesus is like a church leader and he's sitting there with his team and this lady's found and the church leader says, I'm sorry, you can't be healed today. I can't give what's meant for God's people to the dogs. What would that person do? Sue them? Get the Daily Mail involved? Fine man of God you are. You're all right. You're all mouth when you've got the crowds there. But suddenly when you're just sitting with your staff team, with your disciples, oh yeah, you just can't be bothered, can you? It's all a sham. But she didn't say that. Amazing woman. She didn't say that. And Jesus knew. He was making sure her heart was in the right place so that this answer to prayer that she needed could come. What needed to happen? As a Greek woman, she didn't really know fully who he was, but for the release to come, she had to honor him. And the reply that this woman gives after being called a dog, she says, yes, but even the puppies get the scraps under the table. She doesn't react. She doesn't get miffed with him. She doesn't take it as an insult. She just carries on honor the man. Even when he appears to be a bad leader who's insulting her, she carries on honoring him. And Jesus says, for that answer, your daughter has received the healing she needs. Because of honor. Isn't honor powerful? And when we look at the church, and sometimes, and I'm not, you know, the whole church, or just even just us as a church, and we think, why isn't there more healing happening? I think it's because there's not more honouring happening. Because it's very clear to me. It's become very, very clear. Because I was wondering, you know, why does God keep bringing this up, this honour thing? I think it's probably you again. I keep quoting, quote Chris Daniels Morning. But, you know, I think Chris said to me, he said, well, you know, it seemed funny because this was the most honouring church I'd ever known. And so why is God talking about honouring? Because he wants us to go to a completely different place. He wants us to be a complete counterculture to what's in the world. But more than that, as we learn to honour properly, there'll be this release of power and love and miracles. I just want to see people healed. I hate seeing people suffering. Not just people in the church. You know, this is for everyone. You know, we've got an answer. And I want to see it happening more and more and more. I love it when people are getting healed here in church and, you know, when we're praying for people on the streets. But there's so much more to happen. You know, the joy on people's faces, the shock sometimes. when something that was there is gone. I don't know if you're like me, sometimes when I've been healed of something, it's almost hard to believe it was there.
Yes.
Did I really have a pain there? Why is it gone? Hallelujah. I'm going to finish with a little bit more from Luke. Go to Luke 13. And I think it's a real I'm going to finish with, rather than a preacher's I'm going to finish with. Verse 35. Oh, I don't think that was the right verse. Oh, well. I'll look it up again later. The verse is, I tell you, you will not see me again. Do you know that verse? Until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I can't remember where it is. I've written down the wrong verse. Oh, thank you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, it says right at the end. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Think about that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, you will not see me again until you honour those who come in my name. I've never ever seen it like that before. But it's there. You will not see me until you honour those who come in my name. Wow, that's very clear. Hallelujah. In this book here, there it is, Luke 13:35. I tell you, you'll not see me again until you say blessed. And then it goes into that teaching about it being until you honour those who come in my name. And it goes into chapter 4, and I'll just mention it to finish. I mean, you can you'll read it for yourselves, but he talks about how, as somebody who travels internationally, he sees this so dramatically. And he was talking about, I think there's one example of where he was ministering in a prison. And as he went into the prison, they honoured him. Blessed, you will not see until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, until you honour the person who comes in the name of the Lord. And he was really honoured. And him and his team had this amazing time with God and praise and worship and healings and all stuff happening. And it was fantastic. And they sort of left, he said, we left the place on this cloud of, wah! And they were going to the church about 2 hours later, nearby, and I think the church was linked with the prison. And so they were expecting, this is going to be awesome. And they went there and it went, but they didn't honour him. And he said it was so, he says in the book, it was so odd because I was the same person doing the same thing, believing the same thing, saying the same things, and nothing happened. He said my faith was the same. But the honouring wasn't there, and the flow of God's anointing just didn't happen. Awesome, isn't it? And he gives other examples. He talks about, you know, why do more miracles happen in Africa? Now, a lot of people talk about because they haven't got hospitals and doctors and nurses, so they've got to believe in God. But he says, and I think he's absolutely right, that can be a factor. But he says the one thing you really notice is they honour. He actually writes that he finds the honour embarrassing. So they're so keen to honour him. You know, they won't be that wealthy, but they will want to put him up in the best possible place that they can afford. People will want to carry his bags and Bibles. He has people coming to wash his hands for him. And he says in it, some of it, he just finds he realises it's not them that are wrong, it's him that's wrong wanting to react, because if he stops them, there was one occasion when I think they wanted to wash his hands for them, and he says, and he wanted to stop it happening. He just don't like it. And he felt the Holy Spirit say to him, you know, don't you dare stop this. Because obviously as they honoured the man of God, they were going to be receiving.
Yes.
And you can almost get into a selfish way of honouring people, couldn't you? If you're not careful. Going to honour them because I'm going to get something. Well, then you'd have a few heart issues. Hallelujah. So, that's it really. A very simple message. Let's go back just to the first verse, or the second verse, but the key verse for the talk. Look to yourselves. Remember, it's not often, as I said, that Scripture actually says this. But in other words, reevaluate the way you work. Reevaluate the way you think. Reevaluate the way you're doing stuff. Reevaluate the way you treat one another. Oh, I would say, in case you're getting the picture that I'm getting you to read this for nefarious purposes, that Although he starts with honouring church leaders, which obviously is key because church leaders, you're called to give double honour to those who are in leadership over you. It's all about, he deals with what to do with harsh authority, which was missing in one of his other books. It's so good to read what he's got there. Honouring civil leaders, honouring social leaders, honouring domestic leaders, honouring church leaders, honouring our peers, honouring the home, children, honouring the home, wife, honouring everybody, honouring God. It really brings back honouring in the proper place it should be, because it can get out of context if you only talk about honouring the church leaders, because that's not what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen and. Amen? Praise God. So back to the first verse. Look to yourselves. We're to be thinking, that's why I said, you know, jot this down in your notebook or whatever, that we do not lose the things we've worked for. We've been planting and sowing for a harvest. We don't want to miss the harvest because we didn't do the last bit. You know, the farmer didn't go out and harvest the field, or the storm came, or whatever was in that original story I gave you, but he missed what he'd worked for. And I believe what God is saying is this honouring is sort of your bit to, so that you get what you've been working for. You know, who wants to miss the years of sowing into the kingdom, of praying, of reading the word, of understanding the word, of getting in on this talk, of going out and doing stuff, of trying to love people, trying to make a difference in our community. I don't want to miss what we've been working for. Amen? But that we may receive the full reward. I don't even want a partial reward. The partial reward, I think, is what we kind of get now. You know, we've seen some really fantastic, awesome stuff. And there's going to be such a release this weekend. But if we put the honouring even more in place, there's even more of a release. Amen. It's easier, isn't it, I guess, with somebody coming. Because you know they're coming specially. But then there's the warning in there. Don't treat me like Jesus. That's not the title of the talk. Don't treat me like Jesus and think that's just Paul. Remember that whoever stands here to speak, or whoever leads Martin, or when Chris has been up, or whatever, they're there in place of God. And if we honour them, we will receive from them. It's actually a very awesome responsibility on you. Because you suddenly realise, yeah, you're speaking in the place of God. You better listen to the Lord first. You can't just do it. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Praise God. We're just going to finish in worship. There's not going to be a response to that message, because I think it's a message that, in terms of a coming forward response, because I think it's a message you've got to take go away with. The instruction is look to yourselves. Yeah? And I can't recommend any more. Yeah, it'd be good to get hold of that book for yourselves and read it. But the final thing I want to do is, we've talked about healing this morning, and I don't think you should talk about healing without an opportunity for God to heal. So we actually are going to have a call forward, but it's going to be for those who have come seeking healing this morning. Amen? So we're going to worship with one last song, and as we worship the Lord, anybody that's come knowing that they need a touch from God to receive healing, we're going to anoint you with oil, and God is going to come and heal your body this morning. Amen? Amen. Off you go, team.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.